Hello, and welcome to the Romantically Inclined podcast. As a reminder, this is an explicit podcast, okay? So we're going to be talking about a lot of filthy shit. If that's not your jam, dip out now. This is episode 10. I honestly didn't think I'd make it this far, but I did. Bravo me. Congratulations to me. And this is the time of the month where I bring you my recommendations from the previous month and my opposite of recommendations, my avoidations. And I'm not going to lie to you, last month fucking sucked. I was in a reading slump for most of the month, honestly. I really, really struggled to find a book that I enjoyed. I think it was because, and I'll explain this later, I think I read a book that was just so utterly perfect that every book after that just really felt like a letdown for a little bit. And not to a fault of the books I was reading. It was just, you know, that book was so fucking good. I did DNF a lot. I'm not even going to tell you the books I DNF'd because a lot of them I'll go back to later. I don't want to give them bad reviews now when I don't think they're justified. But yeah, anyways, let's just get into it. I'm going to start by telling you the most recent book I read because it is October. And in case you're looking for something horrifying, I want you to get this on your TBR. I talked about it a little bit in my Instagram stories. It is Death's Bloom by Lily Maine. I went into this book knowing nothing, which is very much unlike me. I am the person who is literally reading the blurb and looking at reviews before I even crack open a book. I want to know what I'm getting into. I love spoilers. I am an awful person. I know. I knew nothing. All I knew was Lily Maine was coming out with a book and she opened up her ARC team and I was like, put me on that fucking list. And then when it came through my Kindle a couple days later, I went, all right, I'm just going to crack it open on the airplane. To my husband and I went to Austin and I did. And oh my God, this book was terrifying. Terrifying. And I love horror and I watch a lot of true crime and stuff like that. But I really had a really good time with this book. And I'm glad that I wasn't sleeping alone that night. So it is a Bluebeard retelling. Maybe you know that story. I did not. So it gave me no indication going in. If you do know the story of Bluebeard, and I still haven't looked it up, so I'm still not sure what the story is, then you will probably, you know, you'll have an idea. The fact that I still haven't looked up the Bluebeard story should tell you that I really have no idea whether this is accurate to the original storyline or even if it's supposed to be. But it was amazing. So we have Ari, who is an adorable, long-haired, blonde man who works at a flower shop. And one day he's looking out the window and he sees a gorgeous, blue-bearded, tattooed, pierced gentleman dressed real nice. And he feels an instant attraction to this man that he's never felt before in his life. He just really feels like this person, he needs to know this person. But as men are want to do when they have feelings for somebody and women and everybody, he did nothing. He just continued to spy on him outside the flower shop window for like weeks. Finally, he, through circumstances, meets up with Theo, who is kind of an interesting individual. Like I said, he has a nice blue beard. It's in the title. It's not actually in the title, but whatever. And the two of them begin dating. They have this like really nice connection. They just get each other. Conversation flows. It's flawless. And blah, 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 blah. And Ari starts being haunted by a demon. Is there a connection to Theo? Maybe. This demon is terrifying. And it's not like I'm a demon who wants to like fuck you and like be really sexy and blah, blah, blah. No. This is a terrifying demon who is making Ari's life a living hell. Like, standing in fucking dark corners, spying on him. He, like, walks towards the bed and slips under, you know, like, what the fuck, man? If you got feelings for someone, do not stand in dark corners watching them in the evening. That is not, you, no. So that was really scary. And it just gets progressively scarier and scarier and scarier with all, like, you know, Ari literally believes at one point that he is losing his mind. I don't want to spoil it or anything. You know, this is literally just the first, like, beginning bits. But at some point, there is a threesome with a demon, but the demon doesn't have his own body. So figure that out in your mind and read this fucking book because it's so goddamn good. I've never read anything like it in terms of horror or in terms of demons. It was really just something utterly unique and fabulous. All right, so that's why I'm starting on a high note, and now I'd like to go down a note and tell you about The Dating Disaster by Saxon James. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Saxon James. I read everything they write. I have binged their entire backlist. So my feelings about this book should not be a reflection of the author, but more just be a reflection of these particular characters and this particular plot, because it didn't work for me. I almost DNF'd it like 3 times, but it was one of those books where I just really needed to know how it ended. But it begins, we have Felix, who we've met in a previous book of Saxon's, and I didn't like him in that previous book, so perhaps that is why I wasn't super geeked about this. And then we have Marshall, who is a body positive, he's like kind of a bigger dude, but he's totally comfortable in it, frat guy. He's called Marshmallow, you know, he's just a cinnamon roll, blah, blah. It starts off with the two of them having a very bad first date, in which Marshall is incredibly nervous and comes off disinterested, and Felix is very hypersexual and doesn't really understand why Marshall is not picking up what he's putting down. We later learn that Marshall is demisexual, which means like he needs feelings to develop for a person before he can become physical with them and experience sexual attraction for them. And Felix doesn't really understand that, so he just takes Marshall, like, turning him down as, like, utter rejection, vows to hate him forever, and boom, now they're roommates. So, again, I'm not going to spoil the whole book for you, but basically this book was one internal monologue after another that pissed me the fuck off. It's just, like, them whining in their heads about why the other person, like, Felix is like, why doesn't he want to fuck me? And Marshall's like, why is Felix so mean to me? And it's like, well, Felix feels appreciation and affection through physical touch. So of course he's like wants to be fucked. And then Marshall is demisexual, so he doesn't connect with people that way and blah. Anyways, the entire book could have been condensed to one fucking conversation. And I love the misunderstanding trope. I love it. So the fact that I am so pissed off at the level of misunderstanding in this book should tell you that it is way too fucking much misunderstanding trope. Even the ending wasn't enough to save it. I did not care about these characters whatsoever. Will I read more by Saxon James in the future? Absolutely. Just not this one. And then I kind of continued a little bit into the story Bet You by Neve Wilder. Again, Neve Wilder is an instant buy author for me. I own most of her books, even though they are also on Kindle Unlimited. This is another college romance. We have Spencer, who is just like a really intelligent individual, and he works very, very hard. He doesn't, you know, he has to work to pay for college, and every day he comes home and someone's parked in his fucking assigned parking spot, and he has to park like 4 blocks away by a dumpster. It's disgusting, and he's getting really freaking pissed off about it. One day he comes home, someone's in his spot, and he sees it is a man named Corey, who is at another frat nearby. It's kind of like the jock frat, I think. And Corey's like a richer kid. And yeah, anyways, Spencer goes off on him, lays into him about taking his parking spot. Corey's like, whoa, this is the first time I've ever stolen this parking spot. I'm so sorry, but like, you're being a real dick about it. And yeah, so then yada, 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 to pull a Seinfeld, it ends up being a like bet themed romance, a bet trope, where Corey, see these characters, maybe I didn't like this because these two books were like very similar in vibes. They have co-written before, I believe, so perhaps they just had very similar writing voices. Anyways, Corey is interested in Spencer, But his frat brothers pick up on that, and they can tell that Spencer hates him, so they just throw out a casual, like, I bet you can't get him into bed. And I think if Corey gets him into bed, I don't know what even what happens, but if he loses, he has to buy lunch for everybody or something, pick up the tab at the bar. Anyways, I'm not into the bet trope. Like, right away, I'm like, okay, immediately I can tell how this book is going to end. Which, obviously, with romance novels, we can always tell how a book is going to end, right? Happily ever after. But there's something about the bet trope that is so unfucking believably predictable that it's boring to me. Ugh. What wasn't boring, however, was that Spencer is a bit of a voyeur. Their windows face each other. Spencer gets to see Corey kind of, I mean, there's no consent at this point, so if that's a problem for you, then you may want to not read this book. But Spencer kind of spends a little bit of time watching Corey have sex and masturbate and get busy in his bedroom through the open window. Corey eventually obviously finds out that this is happening, and he totally approves of it in his mind. Spencer doesn't know yet and gets a little bit exhibitionist about it. So if that I really loved. That was pretty unique. You don't see a whole ton of voyeurism and exhibitionism in romance novels, especially not together. You know, sometimes it's one or the other, but this was really unique in that, and I really enjoyed that part. But I mean, the book itself, a little bit underwhelming, but I couldn't really, there was nothing really wrong with it besides my own personal vendetta against the bet trope. Now let's get into the book that ruined me and is responsible for my book slump. Read at Your Own Risk. It is The Sunny Side by Lily Morton. So there's a Lily Maine who wrote the MM horror retelling, and now there's Lily Morton who wrote The Sunny Side. I feel like Lily's are top-notch, top-tier in the romance genre. That has been my experience. In The Sunny Side, though, it is the beginning of a new series that kind of spins off a previous series, where in the previous series, we kind of meet this man, Dean, who is a male model, and he is perceived by most people around him as dumb, like actually dumb. Like, people think he is just an absolute idiot. The way we're kind of, I mean, they like him, but they can, you know, the way we're introduced to him is kind of like he just is unaware of the world around him, doesn't really get things. He always answers questions kind of weird and says quirky things that don't really make sense. But people loved him so much that Lily was like, I'm going to give him his own book. And so we, in The Sunny Side, we have Dean, and we actually start to get kind of an insider look at why he is the way he is. And it turns out, this is not really a spoiler, I think we find out in like the very first chapter, but he has been smoking weed since he was like 14 years old. And this is kind of like impacted, I mean, he has some learning disabilities, and he struggled growing up. He has some trauma related to that and bad parenting and just disappointing adult support all around. And so he never really got the support he needed. Everybody writes him off as dumb. He started smoking weed and it didn't help the situation. Now he's kind of like fuzzy headed and never really fully present at any time. But he is an amazing model, and he's in the very first chapter, we're like, okay, he stopped smoking weed. So anyways, that's how we're kind of introduced to this new version of Dean. And we have Jonas is our other hero, and he is the owner of the modeling agency where Dean works. And so this whole book is kind of like Jonas is giving in to his pining for Dean. He's kind of had these feelings for Dean for a long time since he took over the agency. And then you have Dean, who's had these feelings for Jonas, finally getting the man he wants, which I love that dynamic. So Dean's wanted him for a long time. Jonas is only just accepting his feelings for him. There are perfect levels of snark and understanding in this book. It's so hard to explain how amazing Lily is at writing just actual funny scenarios and funny dialogue. I was laughing out loud while I was reading it. So a lot of times in like rom-coms and stuff, the dialogue can just feel so forced. You're like, I'm supposed to laugh here, I think. Not in this. In this, every piece of dialogue is perfectly written, perfectly said, perfectly expressed. Anyways, flawless. And I loved how understanding Jonas was of Dean, how accepting he was of him, how defensive he was of him. And his Dean has obviously some self-esteem issues, and Jonas was not having any of that. He just wanted to lift Dean up in any way, shape, or form. And so did everybody around them, which was wonderful. The secondary characters in this book, I was immediately shipping them and trying to figure out maybe who Lily was going to pair together in the future books. Everyone is perfect. There are some really, really amazing friends in this book, and I really hope they get their own books. So anyways, that book ruined my life. The end of that. So I want to continue. So finally, I feel like I just explained to you guys like 4 gay romances, which is great. But let's get into some male-female romance here with Nikki the Driver by Kate C. Wells. This book is in the same series as Run, Posey, Run, which I highly recommend if you like dark mafia that's different. The hero of that is neurodivergent and also a psychopath. And Posey, the heroine, is just very different too. She kind of has her innocence stolen away within the book, and she is faced with reality, which is like being the coveted woman of a mafia man is maybe not as ideal and wonderful as she thought in the beginning of the book. In this book, we have Nikki the driver, who we meet in the first book, Run, Posey, Run. He's her driver. He rescues Posey and like gives his, covers her during a firefight. And I would like you to read the trigger warnings for this book. I'm going to tell you right now some of them, but please do your due diligence because this book is very triggering to a lot of people. There is heavy amounts of stalking. For like 10 years, Nikki has been stalking the heroine. And we also have instances of disordered eating. I know that is a huge trigger for a lot of people. It is a current issue for the heroine. It is not something that is like, in her past. So I definitely recommend that you do not read it if you have those issues. It was handled well, I believe, but it was pretty fucked up a little bit. Anyways, so we have Nikki, who has been absolutely pining over the heroine for forever. I think since they were like 14. And it's romantic, I guess, in a way. The heroine is named Zita, which I kept thinking of like baked Zita the entire time, which was a little bit distracting, but that's on me. And Zita has no idea that this has been going on in the background of her life. She knows at one point that he was creeping her out when they were in high school, and she thinks she like handled the issue, but all she did was secure her fate. Because eventually, this is also a very, very violent book. Okay. This is a mafia book. People are getting unalived a lot. So Zita, kind of gun to her head, is forced to become engaged to Nikki. She is his reward for being a good follower of Luca, the head of the mafia. And she isn't really interested in going, and she doesn't really understand. She is also, much like Posey, very realistic in terms of what it's like to be the woman of a mafia man. And so the whole book is kind of her waiting for Nikki to hit her or lash out at her or, punish her. But Nikki just wants to worship her. Like, all Nikki wants is to make sure she is safe and happy at all times. But don't get me wrong, he is not like a good person. He is very selfish. He just, like, his entire life revolves around having and like acquiring Zita, having her as his wife, like having her for himself. I guess he's not selfish because he literally would rip his arm off if she asked. But anyways, so yeah, the book is though that he can't really understand why she's not happy, and she has this eating disorder, and he, doesn't really understand that. And it turns out life isn't as perfect as he thought it was going to be when he finally got his hands on the girl of his dreams. It's a very toxic relationship, but I actually kind of like that because it's not I don't know, it's more honest. I feel like Kate C. Wells is a great example of an author who writes honest mafia, where you're like, wow, nobody is a good person, not even the hero, not even really the heroine. Everybody's flawed, everybody's toxic, and the relationships are toxic, but because both characters are toxic in just the right way, they work. So anyways, I loved that as well. I read everything Kate C. Wells writes. I have no complaints. I have loved it all. I will continue to just pick it up as she writes it. And I guess I have a little bit extra time, so I'm just going to let you know the books I'm currently reading. Oh, shit. I totally forgot. I am also in progress of the Anchor and Aspect series by Ruby Dixon, which is a fantasy series. The first book is Something to the Battle God. Then you have Sworn to the Shadow God and Wed to the Wild God. Oh, it's Bound to the Battle God. Sworn to the Shadow God and Wed to the Wild God. And this series has taken me actually a couple months to read. I think I talked about the first book, maybe even the first two books in last month's wrap-up episode, because they are incredibly long. We're talking like 600 pages. These are so long and they're slow burns and I love them and they are great. But it's taken me a while to finish Wed to the Wild God just because I'm needing to break up the story and like the really in-depth world building with like some shorter reads and, you know, authors are coming out. My favorite authors are coming out with stuff. So I'm like, I'm just going to read it. So anyways, highly recommend if you like fantasy. But be prepared for a journey because these are intense. They're not like the quick reads of Ice Planet Barbarians and some of her other alien romances. These are definitely in depth. I think someone said the first one took her like a couple years to write or something, which totally makes sense to me. Anyways, yeah, forgot about that one. Now, on to what I'm currently reading. I have been reading The Accidental Pinup by Daniel Jackson for like, I don't know, two, almost 3 months. It's just, I'm struggling, and it's nothing to do with the actual story or the characters. So we have both characters are people of color. We have a plus size heroine who kind of is, she's a photographer, and she's supposed to be doing this like boudoir themed kind of shoot for her friend's underwear line. And her friend was supposed to be the model. And her friend ends up on like bed rest for her pregnancy, and she has to step up and be the model and also kind of direct the photo shoot in a sense, but she can't also be the photographer. So they bring in her enemy, or her rival, I guess. They're not really enemies, but her rival photographer that she's had a few run-ins with. Anyways, it's fine. Like the writing isn't bad. It's just, and maybe a photographer would really like this book, but for me, it is way too much of a focus on the photography. It is intense. It is, you know, every time they're together, it's a photo shoot. They go on a date. He tells her to bring her camera and they're taking photos. They're having a conversation, and maybe photographers actually do this, but she'll be like, stop talking for a sec and take his picture. And in my head, I was like, that's rude to me. Like, maybe that's a thing photographers do, but that's, I've never encountered that. And so he doesn't think it's rude because he's also a photographer. But anyways, it's just too much about photography. I'm trying to finish it because, again, like, I am curious about where the story goes, because there's definitely going to be a gravel at some point. But I'm just, the being shoved in the face with photography is not something I'm super interested in right now. It's just not a hobby I've ever taken to. It's why I don't do aesthetic flat lays on my Instagram, because I fucking suck at photography. I suck at taking photos. So yeah. So if you really like photography, then you might really enjoy this book. The other book I'm currently reading is Finding Home by Sutton Bishop, and it is the second in her Pinion Ridge series. I loved the first one, which is a second chance single mom romance, and obviously he's the dad of her kid, but he doesn't know about the kid, so I don't know, is that, I don't really know what that trope is, like secret pregnancy, I guess. Yeah, even though the kid's like 12 now. Anyways, I loved it, loved that book. So now I'm in the second book and I'm really enjoying it as well. I love the setting, There's a huge misunderstanding right now that is about to turn into a fight. I don't even think it's going to turn into a gravel. It's going to turn into a fight, which I'm looking forward to. And the heroine is an emergency helicopter pilot. So she like goes off and does rescues and stuff and transports people in emergencies. And he is like a sports agent from Spain. So the drama. I do love a heroine who can fly a helicopter. This is my second heroine who can fly a helicopter. The other one is the second book, following Whiteout by Adriana Anders. It's like the second one. And I also really like that. That's like a survival-based one. There's hurt and comfort and injuries, and they're sharing a like sleeping bag and a cave. Everyone knows that I fucking love the only one sleeping bag trope. This is not a surprise to anybody, right? So anyways, sorry for that little ramble, but that is my September wrap-up. And yeah, I hope maybe a couple of those were interesting to you. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. I'm not your mom. You don't have to add them to your TBR if you don't want to. But if you do and you like them or hate them, let me know. Okay, don't let me know if you hate it. But unless you also hated a book I didn't like, in which case, yeah, let's dish about it. But if you hate a book I just gushed about, then please keep that to yourself, because I am very sensitive and I do not handle my emotions in a healthy way. So anyways, thanks for tuning in to episode 10, and stay tuned because next week we have an author interview that I'm really excited about. Woo! Anyways, love you guys. Read whatever the fuck you want. And if someone tries to make fun of you for reading romance novels, punch them in the throat. Disclaimer, that was a joke, and this is not an endorsement of physical violence. Thank you.